Right, our reading will be taken from Ephesians chapter number 2, starting at verse number 8. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Amen.
Amen.
Now I want you to turn to your neighbor. Now you ain't got to touch him. You ain't touching your neighbor, but you're going to hug yourself as you look at your neighbor. You're going to cross your arms across your chest and look at your neighbor. Make eye contact with your neighbor. Look him square in the eye and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm created for good works. Neighbor,
I'm created for good works.
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, I'm Created for Good Works. Now, I know today is Father's Day. We're going to talk to the fathers. And we're also going to talk to everybody else. And we're also talking to that person who father might not have been in your life, but there was some man somewhere that helped. And when we look at our fathers, Horace III hadn't talked to me. I ain't talked to him. He wasn't at 8 o'clock service. But it's amazing what he said, because what he said is similar to what we dealt with at 8 o'clock, which, again, we're going to deal with right now. One of the things that we have to know is that our fathers have been a blessing to us. Our fathers are the ones that showed us how to do good works, knowing that they had to get up every morning, deal with whatever at the job, but they worked and did what they had to provide food on the table, roof over our heads, clothes on our backs. And they did all of that because they wanted us to understand the work ethic, and their work ethic wasn't going to be like ours, because we wanted them to go and get the education so that they could excel. And when I listened to what the third said about his daddy, I'm like, Lord, he's all up in house. And it's amazing. But it just goes to show you, our God is about confirmation. Our God is about making sure that we understand what he is teaching us, and will use various avenues to get his point across. And as we're seeing this, we don't even realize that how our fathers truly were mentoring us through how they were being an examples of what it means to do good work. And then there's another group of folk who needed some further clarity on what good work is. And those folk are the Ephesians. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus because there had to be some issues he needed to bring clarity to. But the one thing he wanted them to understand is this: y'all have received a gift. You see, today, fathers, all of us got a little bag, right? Amen. The bag had a pretty tie on it. Did y'all see it? Yeah. Our young folk did a good job. And thank you, Tiffany, for having that mind to put all that together. And all you brothers, when you got that bag, what did you do? You looked at it, right? Because you just received a what? Gift. Now, you know it wasn't no big exorbitant gift. You know it wasn't a $500 something in there. But still, you received a gift. And when you got the gift, the next thing you wanted to do was what? Open it. understand that the Lord gives us a gift, has given us a gift. And the mistake that some of us make is figuring that once I got the gift, Reverend Dab, and I opened it one time, that was it. But I'm here to tell you, the gift that we get from God is a gift that we ought to open up every single day. And depending on Reverend Rose, what kind of day we're having, you might need to go open that gift a few times. Now, and the thing is, and why that gift's got to be opened up every day, because yesterday is past, tomorrow's not known. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Oh, somebody going to work with me. So every day we ought to be opening up our gift. And you know, the mistake that some of us make is that once I gave my life to Christ, and now that I've been blessed, and now that I'm anointed and appointed and I'm highly favored, we stop opening up our gift. Don't ever let that gift just sit there. But truth be told, Phil, there was a time we didn't know the Lord, didn't care about the Lord, and the Lord still had his gift sitting there right in front of us. We didn't even think about opening it because we didn't want to know nothing about it. It's when we gave our lives to him. Yeah. That's when we first opened up that. Yeah. And then the thing that Paul wanted the Ephesians to understand. You see, because, Brother Chester, some folk were getting a little high and mighty, filled with themselves. Nicole thinking they're all at a bag of chips, two sodas, and a, there it is. And because of that, what has happened here is that Paul had to put things back in perspective for them. Because they had their gift and forgot about to continue to open their gift. And what he had to let them know is this in verse number 8. For by grace, excuse me, you have been what? Faith. Through what? Faith. Right? For by grace you have been what? Saved. Through faith. Do you realize that God had in that gift for us something called grace? Because we all needed to be saved. Do you realize that every day you wake up, that's a new day that the Lord has created? Let us rejoice and be glad in it, because the Lord has just showed all of us what? Grace. And don't you know what grace is? It's an unmerited gift. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. It's an unmerited gift. You didn't work for it. God gave it to you because God loves you. He cares about you. So God shows each and every one of us. Mother Austin, he's been showing you grace for 97 plus years. And guess what? You're still here shouting. Hey, I mean, the hat might have slid a little bit, but that's all right. God is still showing you. And I want you to know, I don't care how young and how old you are, if you are in this place, God is showing all of you. You see, my brothers and my sisters, that's how come we just can't come here and expect to be here. Because I want you to know, there was somebody who went to sleep last night, expected to wake up this morning, but they didn't. But since you did, you got to thank God because he has showed you. And since God has shown all of us grace, he showed us grace and let us know that it's through that grace that we have been saved through faith. You see, some of us might get this twisted and might not understand, but I'm going to explain it. God stepped out on faith by showing us grace, because of the fact that he stepped out saying, I'm going to give them this, but will they receive it? You see, God has given each and every one of us, y'all, something that we got to understand we got. You know what that's called? Free will. You have the free will to praise him. You have the free will not to praise him. You have the free will to come to church. Well, and when you become an adult, but while you're a child, your parents say you're going, amen. But what I want you to understand, you got the free will to make that choice. So God sent his son down here for you and for I, because God wanted to show all of us grace. And he had the faith that once we understood what we received, Brother Botts, we would not let that gift stay there unopened. But what we have to get, y'all, because this is where Paul is taking him. Because when you look at the rest of that verse, he says, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may what? Boast. Now, you know what that's telling us? Paul is telling us is this. Guess what? Ain't none of us deserve the gift. And I don't care how hard you work, because none of us work for this gift. Because all of our best is nothing but filthy rags in the presence of God. Because I want you to understand something about brothers and my sisters. That I want you to know that we would have been foreclosed on and evicted a long time ago. Because I want you to recognize and see this. And I want you to understand this. That don't you know that when we started out here on this earth, it was nothing but a piece of dust, and God took that dust and made us from it. Then breathed the breath of life in us. Placed us in a garden and said, everything you need, it exists right here. And we were there for a good work. But when we listened to something else called the serpent. See, we didn't realize that the serpent was sneaky. He was talking about sin, and he was utilized by the enemy for the sole purpose of getting us to give away what we had, which was good, and sign up for something that wasn't going to help us. And once Adam and Eve fell in the garden, it's like they got a loan. I want you to know, Deacon Wiley, that they couldn't pay for. They had insufficient funds to pay for the loan. And since you have insufficient funds to pay for a loan, I don't care what you have, I want you to know it's going to be taken away because you ain't got enough money to take care of. So I want you to know that, Sister Pat, we was getting close to being evicted. We were getting close to have our house foreclosed on. And in all actuality, the enemy was sucking the breath of life out of us. He was sifting us to tear us down, and knew that he had his grip on us. But what he did not expect was Jesus to step down through 42 generations. He did not expect Jesus to come and to be the one that was going to pay our loan off in full, redeem us and put us back in a right relationship with the Father through the Son. He wasn't expecting that to happen. So knowing all of this happening, how are you going to walk around thinking that you deserve to be here? How you going to walk around saying, what kind of church would it be if I wasn't there? Don't you know I'm large and in charge? Yeah, I sinned a little bit, but I ain't sinned as bad as you did. You was toe up from the floor up. All I did was get my pinky toe a little wet. You see, I want us to understand there are no categories for sin. When you sin, it's all in the same category. So for some folk to look at other folk in the church who might have been through hell and high water, and all you did was step into the mud a little bit, that still don't make you no better than them. Because I want you to know that you still had a loan on you that you did not have sufficient funds to pay for. That if the Lord didn't step in on you, you would have ended up totally dirty. And yes, you would have ended up toe up. And yes, he would have snatched you up out of here. So we got to stop categorizing and say, well, I know how I am now, but I know I wasn't as bad as you were. But I'm here to tell you, we all have fallen short. You know, we can't use terms like, oh, well, that was just a little sin. Oh, that was just a little white lie. A lie is a lie. Sin is what? Sin. So all of us have what? Sin. All of us needed Jesus. All of us needed to be turned around. All of us needed healing. All of us needed deliverance. All of us needed a new way. All of us needed him in order to make it across. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? And knowing the only reason why I am here is because of... And since, oh, wait a minute, that didn't sound right. I heard Brother Botts up here. I heard Dab. I heard Reverend Rose. But Lord knows I ain't hear a whole lot out there. I was going to move on, but I guess I got to hang out for about 3-4 more minutes. You see, you have to understand, my brothers and sisters, when we look at our daddies, some of them had to bite their lip while they were working their jobs. Some of us are just one or two generations away from our parents being sharecroppers, being called a boy and you 50 years old by some dude that's 18. And the only way you was able to keep your sanity together was when you was able to go up to the church house and say, Lord, you know why I'm here. Lord, you know I would have snapped that fool's neck, but I got you in my life. And I need to take care of my family. I know I'm going to have to endure some stuff, but that's all right. Because I know you're going to make a way for me and my family. So I'm going to continue to trust in you. I'm going to continue to walk with you. I'm going to continue to praise you. Because, Lord, if I didn't have you, I don't know where I would be. You see, and that's what we have to understand today. Where would you be if you didn't have Jesus? Where has he brought you from? How has he turned you around? How has he blessed you? Have the Lord blessed anybody in here? Have the Lord changed anybody in here? Anybody been healed, delivered, and set free by the Lord? Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understands that we serve a mighty good God? The only person that brought all of us through, his name is Jesus. Okay, that sounds a lot better. I can move on. So what Paul was letting them know, this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not for the result of works, so that no one can boast. You see, we ain't boasting about our works, because our works ain't worth boasting about. But what we will boast about is the goodness of the Lord. Look at what he's done. Look at what he's doing. Look what he will continue to do. You see, isn't that why we come to church and praise his holy name? Because we know that on our own, we were so messed up, we ain't know what was left, right, top, or bottom. But now that we have the Lord, we understand that he brought the stability in our lives. He's the one that made a way for us. He's the one that helps us keep a roof over our head, clothes on our backs. He's the one that keeps us in our right mind. He's the one that keeps us in good health. He's the one that blesses us and keeps us safe from danger seen and unseen. So that's why when we come to church, if we're going to boast about anything, we're going to boast about the one who's been there with us through thick and through thin. I tell you, we serve a mighty good God who is blessing us right now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody understand? It's nobody but Jesus who's done this for us. Nobody but Jesus who's blessed our family. Nobody but Jesus keeping us together. I tell you, when I think about how good our God is, I can't help but say hallelujah, because I know it's nobody but who? Jesus. Since I know it's him, I know he's given me a gift. And that's a gift that I'm going to open up every day. Because when I open up that gift, I'm able to see his grace and mercy. When I open up that gift, I'm just reminded that I am saved. When I open up that gift, I realize the great things that he has done in my life. And when I think about all the great things that he has done in my life, when I look back and see how he has remade me. Because look at verse number 10. He says, for we are what he has made us. We are the workmanship. I know your translation, some of your translations might say workmanship. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus. For what, y'all? Good work. Which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Amen. Do you realize that when God created us, we were created for good works? Yeah. That's how we were created in the garden. Everything was there supplied for us in the garden. Yeah. And all we had to do was do good in the garden. And since we fell short in the garden, Jesus had to come. He had to become the second Adam. The Son of Man had to come and fulfill your debt and my debt. Because I want you to understand, the enemy was coming to get us. He was coming in to cash in on that loan. Because of the fact that we were incapable of paying. Because you know why he was waiting to cash in on that loan? The whole time the enemy was just sifting us. The whole purpose of sifting something is to filter out it so that it becomes lighter than what it was. I got some cake bakers in here. I got some folk that make rolls in here. And the best way to work with your flour is the first thing you do is you take that flour. What do you do with it? Sift it, because you want to put some air in it. You want to make it lighter. Why? Because you don't want it to be dense. You want to break it down so it'll be easier to use. And that's what the enemy has been doing, breaking us down so it'll be easier for him to take us over. But I am so grateful that Jesus is the one who came to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. He's the one that came to pay it in full so that our houses would not be foreclosed, or that we would not be evicted, that we would not be lost in the sauce, that we would not end up burning in hell. It's because of what Jesus has done for us that we're able to be where we are right now. You see, the Lord remade us, because once we gave our lives to him, don't you know we were what? Born again. And since we were born again, we're not what we used to be. We are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I know there was a time in your life, boy, you was a this and you were that, but look at you now. Hasn't the Lord done a great work with you? Look at you now. Hasn't he remade you? Look at you now. How you think differently? Look at you now. How you walk differently? Look at you now. How you talk differently? Look at you now. Because of the fact that you realize I am what I am, because this is how God has remade me. Anybody in God's house been remade? Anybody in God's house? No, it was nobody but Jesus who did for me what I couldn't do for myself. I tell you, when I think about all that the Lord has done for me, all that the Lord has changed in me, all the things that he's done for me, I can't help but say thank you. When we think about how good our God is, when we think about where he brought us from, he took that deed and he just burnt it. Because that deed was on your life, and the enemy was about to cash it on him. And Jesus said, come on and take it back for us. Because he paid it in full. And now that it's been paid in full, and now that you know you've been remade, it's time for you to do good work. It's not enough for the Lord to just bless you and change you. That in itself is enough to shout about. But I want you to know that as being the children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we are not just happy that the Lord has changed us. We want to show the Lord how we appreciate what he's done for us. And saying to him, thank you, just ain't good enough. So we're not going to just tell him thank you. We're going to show him thank you. And the way that we show him thank you is how we go forward and do what, y'all? Good works. Because the Lord is calling us to do what? Good works. I want you to understand, you can tell somebody all day long, Chester, how much you love them. But whenever you see them, you treat them like they ain't worth 2 cents. You see, I want you to know your actions are telling me what you really think. I want you to understand, if you are a child of God, it ain't enough for you to be up here shouting all day, crying and telling God how good he is, but you're living a life that is not glorifying him. But we understand where the Lord has brought us from. We understand what he's done for us. We understand how he's blessed us. We understand where he's taken us. We understand where we've come from. We understand the doors he's opened. We understand the walls he's knocked down. We understand how he's providing for us. We understand how he has been there with us through thick and thin. We understand that the storm should have took us out, but the Lord kept us in the storm. We understand that no matter how things by flood, no matter how the wind blows, I know I'm in good shape because I am planted upon the rock. And since I'm planted on the rock, I know that the Lord is going to make a way. I know that the Lord is going to bless me. So that's why wherever I go, I got to tell somebody I serve a mighty good God who's been there with me through thick and through thin. I ain't got to look left or right. I just lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. Because my help comes from. Oh, you see, my brothers and sisters, when we think about all that God has done for us, when we think about all that he's brought us through, there is no way I can't tell God thank you. And you know, it's not so much what I say with my mouth. It's what I do with my life. You see, the way I live my life tells God, thank you. And the problem is, Deacon Booth, we might start off excited. looking at our gift every day. But all of a sudden, when we get seasoned, we forget about opening our gift. When we get seasoned, we forget about praising God. When we get seasoned, we forget about what is the most important thing. The most important thing is to give God the glory. The most important thing is to let the Lord know I thank him. You see, and I thank you ain't about saying it with our mouths. Our thank you is through our actions. I could tell my wife all day, baby, you know I just love you. You know I just love you. But every time she looks for me, she can't ever find me. I ain't got no time for her. I don't want to do nothing with her. You know what? Would there be a whole lot of love coming from me? No, because my actions are not consistent with my words. You see, I can show her a whole lot better than I can tell her. You see, and I want you to understand that's the same way we got to take our relationship with the Lord. Lord, I can show you a whole lot better than I can tell you. But even as I'm showing you, Lord, I'm still going to tell you how good you are, because I'm going to live for you. I'm going to walk for you. I'm going to talk for you. I'm going to allow my light to shine for you. And when folk want to come and praise me, I'm going to be a finger post and say, uh-uh. You better give God the glory, because if it had not been for the Lord, I couldn't do anything. You see, and I want you to know, when we start living our lives like that, Broad Rock, I'm telling you, the Lord has already taken us to higher heights. Keep on trusting him. Watch and see how far the Lord's going to take us. There is no limit on how God is going to bless this church. Do I got any folk that understand what I'm talking about? When we put our trust in the Lord, I want you to know there is no limit in what God can do with his people. Anybody agree with me on that one? Turn to somebody and give them a high five and say, ain't no limit. Ain't no limit. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you understand how good God is, I'm going to move forward doing good work. I've been prepared for this good work. Now I got to live out what I'm prepared for. Are you hearing me, my brother? Are you hearing me, my sister? I'm created for good work. Fathers, you've been an example like none other to your children. And you know what? Sometimes they don't get it. They got to hear from somebody else. And when they hear from somebody else, then all of a sudden they reflect back and say, Lord, my daddy was showing me that all along. Isn't that amazing what God does? So what am I saying to you? Open your gift. Open your gift. When? Daily. And if it gets a little rough in the afternoon fair, you better open it again. If it starts getting a little rough before you go to sleep, Violet, you better open it again. Kaomi, I want you to understand, ain't no limit how many times you're going to open that gift and look at it, because you understand there's nobody but God that's going to see you through. You understand where your help comes from. You understand when everything acting crazy all around you, I know where to go to get some stability. I know where to go to find peace. I know where to go where I know I am loved. I know what to do whenever things go on, and I'm going to open my gift. And when I open that gift, I'm reminded about God's grace and his faith, and that I'm saved. And it's not something that I did. You know, one of the struggles that many folk have when they come to church, you know what that struggle is? How can God love me after the way I have been in my life? Let me help you. You see, when the enemy got Jesus to be crucified on the cross, I can see the enemy sitting down there with a big smile on his face. He said, I got Jesus up there, and I got him right in the middle of two thieves. Yeah, I got all of them now. And those two thieves, one of the thieves looked at Jesus and said, yo, bro, give me the hookup. If you all that, save yourself and save me. Get us up out of Dodge. And then the other thief, Brother Red, said, man, you need to shut up. You know, we're up here because we did wrong. This brother's done nothing. And you know, he looked at Jesus. He said, Jesus, remember me. Did you hear what he said? Remember me. He was a thief. He was crucified for something that he was justly deserving. But what did he say to Jesus? Remember me. And you know what Jesus said to him? This day you shall be with me in paradise. If he can save a thief, if he can save a thief on the cross, you don't think he can save you for what you've done? I'm here to remind you today, it's no longer something you have to be on the outside wondering. God is saying to you, it's time to come in. You've been outside way too long. It's time to come in. I don't care how bad you think it is. He can change you. I don't care what you've done. He can change you. If he can save Saul, who was a persecutor of the church, a murderer, he can save you. And he'll remove your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. No longer do you need to stay away. It's now time for you to come in. Let us all rise.